Katie leans over the bar. She shouts her order in the ear of the bored-looking bartender, whose long ponytail is as pretty and silky as a girl's. She and her friends have only been in the club for an hour. The watery assault on the senses and calculated euphoria have started to wear off, but they aren't yet so drunk that they've been enveloped by generosity and money has stopped mattering. It's a wrench to bellow the order for 7 drinks. She's starting to feel a bit sick. She didn't have dinner. Along the bar, a boy is smiling absently at her. He's the kind of boy she'd never normally look at uninvited. His face looks like it was painted in bold brushstrokes, blonde hair, almost cherubic features. Yet the soft, full lips and long lashes are assembled against high, flat cheekbones, languid bedroom eyes. He looks like he was composed with a purpose, rather than being, like everyone else, the product of random genetic entropy. He's beautiful. So beautiful that Katie doesn't bother to ask herself if he's her type. He's everyone's type, surely. An objective work of art. He smiles at her more distinctly, his eyes coming into focus. They're green, not the expected blue. They cut through the club haze, looking straight at her. Or maybe not. Maybe that's just a trick of the light. Katie looks hurriedly away. £42, please. The barman holds out the card machine. En garde. By the time Katie's finished fumbling with her PIN and has returned her debit card to her bra, the beautiful boy is gone. She takes the tray of mojitos to the cramped grouping of leather poofs where her friends sit, 2 to a poof. She yells above the noise that she's going outside for a minute and leaves, taking her drink with her. She can sense the disgruntled looks shooting from smoky eyes and catching into her back. She feels guilty. They haven't all been together like this since they graduated and came back home. Most of her friends are on day release from their relationships. Serial monogamists, all of them. 7 years at a girls' school will do that to you. It's February. The quiet, wintry air settles Katie's senses, a cooling shower on her overheated skin. She drifts towards the edge of the smoking area. Really, it's just a section of alleyway behind the club with a couple of empty glasses on the floor. For years, it's been ruled over by the same gregarious Polish bouncer who used to remember her name. There are no ashtrays or seats, only men in sweaty polyester shirts and squeaky brogues, smoking roll-ups and leaning unnecessarily close to speak to eager-looking girls. Their edges seem blurry against the night, as if they might float away like large, pale balloons. Katie watches it all. No one seems to see her. She has always done this, wandered off by herself on nights out. Her friends are used to it. Perhaps it's an odd thing to do, but it helps her, and it doesn't seem to harm anyone else. It soothes something. To call the something an anxiety attack would feel too self-absorbed, but there is definitely something in her that needs soothing, especially today. Being here, being home, drags Katie's heart down. But for now, she doesn't have a choice. Home is on the outer fringes of what can reasonably be considered London, though the association is more by map than spirit. It's a 25-minute train journey from the centre of things, although rush hour stretches out that time span indefinitely. Here, a lone suicide on the train tracks can throw a whole swathe of London's workforce into an agony of grumbling, packed as they are onto the slender margin of a single railway line.